Thanks, Gary. Hi, I'm Shireen. I'm an addict. And right now, the last couple of minutes, I've been sitting there with my usual addict bifurcated brain. It's like half of me kind of praying and trying to get some conscious contact going on, and the other half of me frantically trying to organize this chair into a way that will make me look like all smart and recovered and shit. And of course, you know, it, both sides just turn to noise. And I just have to laugh at myself because, you know, I've never been able to successfully plan a chair in my life. I might think, oh, I've got to touch on this, and I've got to do that, and I've got to talk about sponsorship and steps, blah, 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 blah. And then I sit down, and something completely different will come out of my mouth. Welcome to the people that are here from, well, from anywhere. Welcome to, see, it's going to be one of those, isn't it? Christ. Yeah, welcome to everybody, especially to the newcomers. If you hear stuff that you identify with, fantastic. If you think that I'm talking a load of shite, there's a very good chance you're absolutely right, because I'm not exactly feeling like the recovery poster child right now, but, you know, be things as they may. And you're still probably in the right place. Stick around until you hear something that resonates with you. And because I'm pretty sure you probably didn't wander off the street thinking, oh, I could use a free cup of tea in a styrofoam cup. Yeah, I think I'll go into that basement, you know. We all come here, I think, with very different stories, but we come here with really similar heads. And this is the first place, the only place that I have found like 360 degree relief from my head. I can't say that it's 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Sometimes it's just for minutes at a time. But I don't know, this fellowship, this program, those steps up there gave me tools to sort my mad head out. And they're tools that, for whatever reason, whether they weren't handed to me or maybe I was just looking in the other direction, they're tools that I didn't pick up as a child for how to deal with, for me personally, how to deal with fear, how to deal with insecurity, how to deal with anger, how to deal with a sense of abandonment, how to deal with a sense of being insignificant and alone in the world, but expecting so much of yourself, but expecting so little of yourself. You know, all this conflicting, buzzing noise that at least goes on in my head. And this is the first place that I have found a method, a very methodical way of going about, you know, the life on life's terms I don't get to negotiate. But what I do with events that come to me, I have never found such a good set of tools. And I notice that my life is happy, joyous, and free. It's in direct relationship to how well I apply those tools. That doesn't mean that, you know, I don't get my inner seven-year-old going, I'll do what I want, and, you know, try to take my will back on a regular basis. And sometimes I'm lucky and it works out for me, and sometimes it doesn't, and my heart gets broken. And then I come back to these tools. I come back again and again to these tools. Let's see. What it was like, what happened, what it's like now. I grew up in a fairly mad family, which I'm sure some of you can probably relate to. Was kind of dumped at my grandparents. Nobody else was really available. Then my mother at least decided to come and reclaim her prize, and she had married a very violent man. So that was, you know, the next 7 years spent with a lot of fear, a lot of fantasy. I have to say that, like, my first drug of choice was probably having a rich inner life. And I can still go off to that place. And it's very, I have to really, like, tug hard on my sleeve to pull myself back into what is actually happening here. Because I can still, just like that seven-year-old, I can still spin a scenario And then I will start responding to that scenario. And that scene hasn't actually happened. Whatever that disaster is or whatever that asshole said hasn't actually happened in the real world. But you know, it's one of the first things I heard in here the first time I came in was somebody said, feelings aren't facts. And I know that we, you know, part of this journey that we're on is moving from the place in our head to the place in our heart to find out what our real feelings are. But for me, sometimes my feelings are, misplaced or reflexive. So I can think something, get the wrong angle on it, and then respond to that in an emotional way. And that's almost not a feeling. It's just like some kind of karate chop defense mechanism going on in my wacky emotional life. But, you know, it will take me so far away from the truth or my truth or what's actually happening, and it will really lead me down the garden path. But I can very much recognize that a lot of this fantasy life and also lying was a real survival mechanism when I was a child. You know, it was absolutely necessary to keep from getting something broken that you lie to people. And it's one of many survival mechanisms that when I took them into adulthood, they didn't work so well anymore. And the more I learned how to abandon myself, how to shapeshift, how to be a chameleon, how to, I have still to this day, I have this almost character that I refer to as Stunt Shireen. And when I'm in social situations, it's like a wind-up toy. I can stick a key in its back, wind it up, push it out into a social situation. It can come up with some nice chatter and conversation, maybe be a little bit witty or entertaining. But I'm not actually in there. I'm not inhabiting myself at that moment. I'm kind of on this sort of putting on a front autopilot so you all will think I am whatever you're supposed to think I am, you know, competent or intelligent or talented or witty or blah, blah, blah. But when I really come to notice that when I'm on Stunt Shireen, I'm not in there. You can tell Stunt Shireen some story, gone. I cannot take it in because it is such a defense mechanism that it's just completely unrelated to me. Anyway, long story short, I found drugs, and they were very much I was a young musician. They were very much a part of my scene. I really wanted to fit in, and besides, I always wanted to be Keith Richards when I grew up. So, ta-da! You know, that worked out well, didn't it? You know, for the first couple of months, I thought it was all very rock and roll, but it didn't take very long before the tail was wagging the dog, and I was just, you know, lonely and scuzzy and living in my car, and instead of playing in three bands, just, you know, hawking guitars and the usual kind of stuff. And, along the way, I did all sorts of things. I got married, because that was going to fix me. I could go on for that. But at one point, I've been on a big use-up, sitting cross-legged, you know, shooting a huge pile of coke with somebody I didn't even know. And after that, my legs didn't work. And so I couldn't actually drive my car home. You know, and there's nothing quite like having to call your husband who's going to come with your parents to some scuzzy squat because you actually can't stand up because you've been shooting coke for like 16 hours. And I could see the look on their faces. It was like the shutters came down. It was no longer, what are we going to do? They were just like, where do you want to go? And at this point, I was, I think, 23. And I thought I would go, to be honest. You know, when people say you have to do it for yourself, if you're going to stay in here, yes. But to be honest, the first time I came in 1988, back when dinosaurs roamed the earth, I came in to get my husband off my back, get my parents off my back. I really did think that rehab was going to be like some artist retreat or something. I think I went there with a bunch of notebooks thinking I was going to write my Jim Carroll novel or something. And instead, I had a couple of real home truths pointed out to me. My denial of my condition was, well, my denial about all sorts of things was easy to maintain because I still had a job and, you know, but, you know, by the time I got thrown into rehab, I couldn't stand up. You know, there's nothing quite like a 23-year-old on a cane through their own drug abuse. So I came out of rehab, but thinking kind of this was all for you guys. Slipped around a little bit, but saw the people that I went through with getting better, getting lives that I wanted. And so I stuck around. And in my first recovery, I managed to put together 6 years clean. And I am forever grateful for those 6 years because, well, just, that was such a relief. And it really showed me, gave me a blueprint for how to live my life. I can look back now and see that things like the G word, you know, concepts of God really got my back up in those days. I didn't like being told what to do. I went through a series of sponsors that I now call like my record collection sponsor or my shoe sponsor. You know, oh, you like the MC5. I love your jacket. Will you be my sponsor? Kind of thing. And it's easy for me to kind of be sarcastic about those relationships because I didn't really put my back into the steps, if I'm being honest. But it kept me clean for that time, and I'm really grateful for that. What I really learned a lot about in that clean time was how to relapse. Because my relapse, I can say honestly, probably took about 3 years before I actually got out the door. It was like backing out inch by inch. It was so subtle. I started not hanging out for coffee. And then I went to fewer meetings. And then I moved to a different city. And I kept my sponsor in the old city, but I didn't call her that much. And then the meetings kind of backed down. And it wasn't some big going out there, because it's my experiences out there is not, you know, some mad crazy place out the door. It's some place in my heart or in my true head that I let go of all these tools one by one, bit by bit, and found myself back out there. Fast forward 11 years. Not all of that 11 years was like bang up using chaos, but I'm not saying that as any sort of advertisement to like go out and give it a try, because I can see that my head went almost immediately, that my decision making process was so far up my ass I needed a window to see where I was going, that I was just terrified and paralyzed, and things would happen around me, and I felt powerless to take part in any decision regarding my own life, and you know, my career fell apart and all that sort of stuff. So when I came in this time, which is coming on 5 years ago, but thanks to you guys, I looked for somebody other than that record collection sponsor. I found a sponsor who was, you know, I say this with absolute respect, who was a complete step Nazi and was going to kick my ass. And I'm really grateful for that because, you know, she didn't want like, you know, oh, whoopsies, tender feelings. You know, that was not what she was on about. And that was not what I needed. That I really needed to get these tools and learn how to use them. And I'm really, you know, grateful, so grateful for her. Because right now I am, you know, knock on wood, I'm coming out of one of those, you know, bottoms in recovery that has been just the cranial gang rape. I ended a relationship. I thought that, you know, we'd ended it in a civilized, friendly manner, but my experience of it went to a really bad, bad, bad place. And let's see, within 2 weeks, I also got hit by a car while I was on my bike and broke my wrist. My oldest friend is dying of cancer. I lost my sponsor because of this relationship thing. My brain started telling me that I lost Narcotics Anonymous, which of course is nonsense. But I started feeling alienated, you know, that nutty head stuff. And I'm not saying that I use these tools perfectly by any stretch of the imagination, but through this stuff, and I will have absolutely hold my hand up to being mad as a bag of frogs, I didn't use. I did relapse on cigarettes, and I do not mean this as anything against smoking, but that scared me because for me, that was hitting the fuck it button. It was a definite example of hitting the fuck it button. And my experience of hitting the fuck it button is you end up on planet fuck it. And when I'm in planet fuck it, you know, an eight ball, fuck it. You know, it seems like a good idea, but this program has taught me that, you know, prayer, connection with you guys, going to meetings, a conscious contact with my higher power on a daily basis, and these things will pass. Anyway, thank you very much for listening to me. Thank you.